Tonight, you are already aware of the topic is about Imam Ali's wasiyat. One line of this wasiyat is about be on the side of oppressed and be the enemy of oppressors or oppression. So before I start the presentation, I would like to request you guys to be with me. I humbly request that we have been, you know, seeing these things years and over again and again and again, like our rituals, right? And sometimes we are sitting here, our body is sitting here, but our mind is somewhere else. Quran is asking all of us to ponder upon Quran. There are so many verses in Quran asking for your aql. They want to ponder. There's so many verses in Quran about la yafqahun, la yatadabbarun, la yaqilun. Why don't you apply your mind? Why don't you apply your, you know, thinking? So there will be no benefit of me going through these slides and you just counting minutes or looking at the watch, and at the end you just, you know, wait for the masaib and then the majlis is over. I used to live in Saudi Arabia for many years, right? And then I used to bring Zamzam every year. And then I was seeing some of my friends, they ask me every year, did you bring Zamzam for me? But one year I was really, maybe I was rude, I'm sorry, but this is what happened, I'm telling you. I asked one guy, I remember you got Zamzam last year also from me and a year before that also. But I don't see any change, anything, right? You are exactly same or maybe worse than before. So what's the point of drinking Zamzam every year, right? So I was afraid of, you know, when Ramadan, month of Holy Ramadan comes to our life, maybe Ramadan will be thinking the same, like Ramadan came to this guy 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, same like Muharram, right? So if we are not really pondering upon things, if we are just coming, what they call in Farsi, like guftan, nashistan, and, you know, they eat and then they go. So there is no real benefit. There is no benefit for the people who really arrange this. You know, they took all the hassle of doing this arrangements. And there is no point of wasting your time. So please be with me for next 20 minutes at least. And this is not a one-way traffic. Anyone can talk anytime. Just raise your hand and, you know, you can add some things. You can correct me when I'm wrong. I can be wrong many places. And you can add your own thinking also. So make it interactive. Let's get over this one-way traffic, you know, in our communities. Let's make it more interactive, more engaging kind of things, right? So before I go further, I'm going to throw a question to you guys. Have you heard that some people have concluded that why Imam Ali was really killed? Why he was martyred? What was the reason? What's the root cause? Any idea? Justice. What they call it? Shiddatul Adala. He was very shadid. He was really firm on this topic of justice. So this topic should be our, you know, best known kind of thing, that what justice means, what injustice means, what oppressions means. So, and also this, so this is our first Imam. Now we are commemorating his Shahadat. We are mourning, we are doing majalis. But we sometimes forget that the whole reason he gave his life was establishment of justice. And this is our first Imam. And our last Imam. We are waiting for the last Imam. Allahumma ajjal faraj agla zahur. Why? What he is going to establish? Justice. So we are really, we have no room left to go here and there, right? So justice covers our from first Imam to the last Imam. Not only that, also if you ponder, this is the month to ponder in Quran. Don't go so fast. Stop and start pondering on the ayat. Most of the time it says about the reason why the prophets were sent down is لِيَقُمُ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْتِ لِيَقُمُ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْتِ. Several places in Quran it says that the Anbiya were sent down so that they can establish justice. So I want to just go deep. I don't want to limit it to only one topic of Palestine. I want to go a little bit deeper into this topic, really to understand once forever, not for every year. So whoever is in this hall today or whoever will see the recording later on, inshallah, they should get it once forever. So don't keep drinking Zamzam every year. This should be the Ramzan who should change your life, right? And you say, no, now I'm at the next level of the understanding. Say aloud Salawat, please. So everything we start, we go back to the dictionary first. So this is the Lisan al-Araba, Wazir al-Shay fi ghayri mu'diya. Like, what's the basic definition of zulm? Is to put something on a place which is not a proper place for that. So misplacement of things called injustice, right? So zulm, that's what zulm is. And when it comes to the terminology of zulm, even in Quran or in the literature, wherever you go, there are so many examples here. So I'm just going to go through quickly. Like, if you are doing something morally wrong, now my kids will ask me, what's morally wrong, what's not right? So I got a very good answer from another kid a few days ago. He said, whatever I cannot do in front of my father is immoral. So make sure that when you are... So same like we do with Imam Zamana, like he is our father. So if you're doing something and you know that he's watching you, then you will not be doing this kind of stuff, right? So morally wrong or lack of fairness. And these things are not defined in Quran, what is fair, what's not. People know already, like this much of knowledge is already inside of us, right? When we are created, we know that what's fair and what is unfair. So morally wrong, injustice, unjust action, treatment, abuse of power, authority, trespassing, transgression, extreme, a shocking violation of others' rights, political system in which ordinary people have no power or are completely controlled by government, they are abusing power, unlawful entry to a person's land or property. All these kinds are examples of zulm, injustice, oppression. And then also failing to comply with an oath. This oath can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the first kind of zulm when we do. So these are some of the basic definitions to start with. And then before we go to further, we start with Tawheed. We start with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says in Quran in so many places that La yuhibbu zalimeen or innahu la yuhibbu zalimeen. Allah doesn't like, Allah is not unjust. Allah is not unjust. Allah is adil. Allah says in Allah, Allah doesn't do wrong with people. And this is people who do wrong for themselves, right? An-nasu anfusuhum, walakin nasa anfusuhum yazlimun. Yunus 44. And wa'amma allazina amanu wa'amilu salihat, fa'iwaffihim ujurahum, wallahu la yuhibbu zalimeen. So to start with, we start everything from God, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not zalim. Allah zalim nahi hai. Allah zulm nahi karta. Jo bande karte hain zulm, apne haath se apne upar khud karte hain. Aur Allah zulm ko pasand nahi karta. This is the basis of our religion. And then we go to the Prophet Muhammad to ask about what kinds. By the way, this hadith is also narrated by several of our imams as well. But this is also narrated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they try to divide zulm into some types, some categories. So there is a zulm which Allah will forgive. Is there some sort of zulm Allah does not forgive? And then third kind of Allah does not ignore, means He will forgive, but there are some conditions before Allah forgives that kind of zulm. So those are the three basic types of zulm. So let's get some examples of this hadith here. So this is Luqman number 13. وَإِسْقَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is the greatest of the zulm. I'm sorry to say that as a Shia Muslim nowadays, we have to remember these kind of ayats and we have to recite this more in our majalis. That shirk is the biggest zulm. Shirk is the kind of zulm which is not going to be forgiven. Anything to do with God, if you look at the second example here, by the way, these are just two examples. There are plenty of ayats in Quran. So I'm just trying to put something which have space and time available today. So here also, وَمَنْ أَزْلَمَ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Jo Allah pe jhoot bole. If you are going to do wrong with Allah, Himself, If you are going to, for example, do kizb with ayat of Allah, with signs of Allah, with the existence of Allah, if you do any kind of shirk, these are the kinds of operation which Allah is not going to forgive. Here Allah says, innahu la yuflihud zalimun. There is no falah. There is no facilitation for these kind of zalimin. That's number one. Number two is the kind of operation which you also read a lot in Dua Kumail, zalamtu nafsi, which people do on themselves. This is something, the relationship between man and God, between banda and between abd and Allah. These kind of things also mentioned in Quran. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفْرَ لَهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah is also saying, yeah, astaghfar for this thing and I am Ghafur al-Rahim. Allah, I inviting you to ask forgiveness and Allah will forgive you. Here there is a little condition that you will not going to repeat it. Those kind of things also mentioned in some ayat. But basic thing is that, yes, you realize you made a mistake and then now you are to ask for forgiveness and Allah is going to forgive you. Here also, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَعَيْشَةً أَوْظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكْرُ اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفُرُوا لَزُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ زُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah کے سوا کون بخشنے والا ہے؟ Allah سے مانگو تو صحیح, استغفار کرے. اور آپ دیکھیں, if you ponder of our imam were not nauzubillah sinners, but they used to say this, ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, right? Because they were thinking that the level of shukr, like there's no limit for saying thank you Allah, saying shukr alhamdulillah. So they were always thinking that they are behind after doing so much of ibadat, so much of shukr, so much of huququllah, huququnnas. Still they were thinking there is something more needs to be done. That's why they think we are still behind. This is the level of our masumeen. So look at ourselves in this month of Holy Quran and the month of Holy Ramzan, that where do we really stand? That we have to say a lot in this month, Zalamtu nafsi, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I'm not really fasting the way I supposed to fast. I'm not really offering prayers in this month the way I supposed to do. I'm not really pondering in Quran enough in this month. So this is the second type of operation. The third type of operation, when we do with others, other than yourself. If you do zulm with others and then ask Allah for forgiveness, it's not going to work. Then there is two steps of forgiveness. جس کے ساتھ آپ نے برائی کی ہے, جس کے اوپر ظلم کیا ہے, پہلے اس سے معافی مانگنی پڑے گی. You have to first ask forgiveness from the person. Like if you have taken $1,000 from a brother, you cannot come back on Shab-e Qadar and give him $1 and say tonight is equal to 1,000, so he gets $1 and astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayh. No, it's not going to work. You have to first return the full $1,000 and then you ask for the forgiveness of Allah. If you, کسی کے ساتھ بھی, whatever you have cheated, نعوذ باللہ, or you have done wrong with somebody, anyone you have done wrong with, Allah is not going to forgive until you first go to that person and then seek forgiveness from the person. If that person forgives you, then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, then Allah says, I will also forgive you. So this is the third kind of operation. Say a loud salawat please. So I will keep injecting more ahadith and Quran here, that Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the worst horrific kind of operation is the one done to the weak. By the way, most of the time we do zulm with the weak people, because we know that agar samne wala kuch hai to phir hum usse khud hi uske niche jhuk ke uske sath kaam kar rahe hote hain. Zulm karte hi insaan kamzor ke upar hai. So next one, now I'm going to give you some examples of what does it mean by doing injustice? Because we cannot raise this flag of like slogan of Palestine only, and we are going to finish the operation from the world if we are doing the same zulm in our homes. That's my theme here, right? Our homes and our societies and ourself. You start with yourself, remove zulm from your personality, then you come to your family, then you come to the society, and then you talk about the rest of the world. At least correct whatever you are able to correct, right? Because most of the time we talk about things which we are not in our control. And most of the time we are happy to do, like some people will have a full ashra on things going to happen after Zuhr of Imam. Because most of them say, so who knows who is going to be there, right? So let's talk about those topics who has nothing to do with us. So let's change in this Ramadan. Let's talk about those topics which are directly related to me and you. So this one here, in family, we know that we abuse rights of spouses, each other, right? It goes both ways. Rights of your kids, right? Giving them good name, giving them tarbiyat. Right? Like one of alim was saying, bachche paida karna wajib nahi hai, unki tarbiyat karna wajib hai. Agar tarbiyat nahi kar sakte, to aap zara soche paida karne se pehle. Wo unka right hai, ye bhi zulm hai bachchon ke upar. It is a zulm on our kids that you brought them to the society and then, you know, uske hawale kar diya society ke aapne. Ye khud aap ek zulm kar rahe hai apni naslon ke saath. To ye jo zulm hai, gharon ke andar hamare ho raha hai. بیویوں کے ساتھ، بیوی شوہر کے ساتھ، بچوں کے ساتھ یا پیرنٹس کے ساتھ، وائس ورسا، یہ بھی وہ ظلم ہے جو ہم دوسروں کے ساتھ کرتے ہیں. جی انگلش اونلی. سو دس ون ہیئر کنٹینیو وتھ آفٹر فیملی. سو آئی واز ٹاکنگ دا پریویس سلائیڈ واز اباؤٹ ود ان یور ہوم رائٹ. We do a lot of injustice without feeling that we are doing injustice. This is in our relatives, right? And then this is also, you can see examples in your own families here. People feel, you know, deserted, disappointed, deprived. You are on social media. You are not putting in the group. They are blocking from the group. You are, you know, commenting on them without noticing. They are also reading what you are going. You are going to a party with six people. Seventh one is not welcome because he is also a family, but he is not that rich. This kind of thing, right? This kind of zulm is going on in our families also. And then the next is the society, like your neighbors, your workplace, your schools and colleges, your Imam Barga, your community. Everywhere you go, money related, yeah, people are cheating with money. People are, you know, disrespecting. Environmental related, like we are abusing environment. All these kinds of also kind of injustice with the society, and we don't really notice. And again, we are happy to do with the defenseless. And the fourth one is injustice of the rulers. Here, this is like kind of a, you know, you got a free way to go, right? Nobody is there to stop. For example, this guy here, nobody is there to stop him. Any kind of oppression or injustice they want to do, they will continue doing it. Okay, so what are the consequences? There are so many ayat in Quran. So these operations are not without consequences, whether you do with yourself or you do with your in your home or you do in your family or you do in your society. Wherever you do injustice, there are consequences. There will be no happiness. Allah will not guide unjust. Allah does not love the unjust. So all these are different kinds of consequences and very severe consequences written in Quran. If we really believe in this Quran, that these are ayatullah, these are the signs of Allah, and whatever is written is going to happen no matter what. No matter what, whatever written in this Quran is going to happen. So all these consequences are going to happen on the unjust. Now, that was Quran. And now come back to the hadith. Here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When power prompts you to be unjust to people, then remember the power of Allah, the glorified, to punish you. And recall the fact that what you have brought upon them will depart from them while it will remain with you. Whatever zulm you are doing on other people, that zulm will vanish one day, but the punishment will remain with you forever for that zulm. Similarly, these three things are also from sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that oppression will definitely end blessings in the society, in homes, in you know, families. It will bring destruction. And this is what you have seen on the political level. If there is oppression, there is a lot of destruction, the cities will be gone, these things will be vanished, a lot of bombardment, it will destroy. And then in the end, the guy who is destroying the whole world, Allah will also destroy him in the end. This is what Imam Ali is saying, that oppressors will be destroyed. And this is what we have seen in our little life. I am just over 50, and these people, we have been working against some of these people in our lifetime, and we have seen they have gone. So people thinking, oh, things will not change. What's the point of doing this seminar? What's the point of doing, you know, this rally? What's the point of, you know, raising your slogans? This is the point. You see, most of them were indispensable in our eyes. Nobody was thinking Saddam can ever be gone, right? Zia and Fahad and Qaddafi and you know, you all, and this is what Allah is saying in Quran. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبُونَ. And the wrongdoers will soon know at what goal they will end up. And you have seen their end. And you are going to see more of these kind of ends in your life, inshallah, very soon. And Allah says another ayat, Surah Anbiya, how many a town we have smashed that had been wrongdoing and we brought forth another people after that. Allah can replace the whole nation. If nation is part of zulm, Allah can replace it. This is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this end of operation is soon, is going to finish. And then one more thing I want to add, that are we allowed to retaliate? Yes, this is what Quran says. That I'm going to just read the English translation because of the lack of time here. As for those who retaliate after being wronged, there is no ground for action. So there's no punishment for them. It's okay. If you have been wrong, you have been, you know, oppressed. Similarly, there's an ayah about ghiba as well, right? The only guy who can do ghiba is a mazloom. Mazloom can do ghibat of zalim. Similarly here, so retaliation is there in number of places in Quran. It's not that we have become that kind of, you know, Muslim that we say we don't do anything, it's all because of Allah, and Allah knows, Allah wants, Allah doing it, I have nothing to know. You are allowed to do retaliation. This is part of Quran, and this is what people are trying to do. Now, this is very important. I want your full attention now. Time and land. This is what we will be asked in our grave. When we go, like all we're doing, fasting and fast, namaz and roza and majalis, and all of this we're doing so that we can be successful in this life. So that when we go in our grave, we are successful. We can say like Imam Ali, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. All this is the target for all of us, to say that yes, my life was successful. Now, you will not be asked what happened 200 years ago. So this is the problem. Sometimes we study the history, but we are stuck in the history, right? So Abu, so if you take example from Musa, for example, Prophet Musa, he was, working against what? Who? Pharaoh, right? Because he was the tyrant or oppressor of his time. He was not working against Muawiyah, no. He was working against Pharaoh. And then Hazrat Ibrahim? Namrud, right? Imam Ali? And Prophet Muhammad, Abu Sufyan, for example. So everyone has to find the target, the oppressor, the zalim of their time. If you, because this is what I will be asked. Nobody will ask me in the qabr, in my grave, oh, why didn't you go to Karbala and join Imam Hussain? Can anyone ask me that question? No, why? Because I'm just born, right? Few years ago. So your time and your land, this is what you are accountable for. So come out of this history, please. It is very important to study the history. That is why it's in Quran, right? It is very important to study it, to learn the lessons, but the learned lessons not for just for sake of learning. Learn those lessons to apply. Today, nobody is going to ask me what happened in Medina after Prophet have died, you know. There was so much of injustice, right? But I'm not responsible. I'm not accountable. I need to know the history? Yes. I need to build my aqeedah? Yes. But I'm not accountable what happened. Similarly, I'm not answerable what is going to happen when Imam Zamana will come. I don't know. Honestly speaking, I will be there or no. But these 50, 60 years when I'm alive in this world, I'm accountable for this time. This is the importance of time. Your time and your land where you can take action. So that's why if you look around today, this is Hijaz. Okay? Look at Hijaz, what's going on there. Yemen. Look at Yemen, what's going on there. And Nigeria, what's going on there. And not only those, there's so many countries. Remember, in my childhood, I know that there's only one fight, Palestine, Israel. Every day you open your, you know, we used to have 9 o'clock Khabarnama news. The only one news of international arena was Palestine, Israel. Israel, Palestine. So we all know in Pakistan there's something wrong between Israel and Palestine. What Vexivam Kashmir? What happened in last 40 years? In last 40 years, this same Israel has created fitna all over Muslim world. Now we don't know who is fighting who. Okay, Syria is Iraq, and Iraq and Syria, and India and Kashmir, and Afghanistan and Pakistan, Iran and Pakistan, and Lebanon, and you know, everybody fighting with everybody. This is the success. And that's why some people are asking you guys to go and, you know, protest in front of Saudi embassy, so that tomorrow Saudi people can come and protest in front of Iraq embassy, and then Iraq embassy people. Instead of this, all of us should be going and protesting in front of the root cause of the problem, which is Israel and America, right? Instead of this now they are trying to divert, and Israel will be very happy if Muslims are protesting in front of each other's embassies. They will say, yeah, Joel Webb gun. This is what they have done in the last 40 years. Now every country, there is something going on with one another. And then they are sitting, you know, they are sitting alone, they are sitting, you know, resting, and they are enjoying. You know, this is how we ignite little wars here and there, and they are all fighting in between. So the whole region is nowadays under operation. But this is the biggest operation, and this is the root cause of all the operations here. And you have seen 1949. By the way, this present is not today. I think this slide, this photo is several years old. So I don't know even this much of Palestine left today or not. So this present is, I think, around 8-9 years old, I think, this photo. So I think we need to replace a year there. So you can see from 1947 how they are vanishing the state of Palestine. And it's not just vanishing the state of Palestine. It's the influence of Zionism in the Muslim world. It is the influence of Zionism on the international politics. And that is why Imam Khomeini, soon after the revolution, and even before revolution, he has mentioned about it. So he picked this Yom al-Quds, he picked this, that we are on the side of oppressed, whichever pole they are. Imam says, this is not about Palestine only. Wherever they are, we are with the oppressed people. Palestinians are oppressed by Israelis, therefore, we side with them. Not because they're called Palestine or they look like us. No, they are oppressed. If there's oppression in Nigeria, we are going to help them. If there's oppression in Pakistan, we are with them all the time. Oppression in Saudi Arabia, we are with them. Oppression in Bahrain, we are with them. But the issue, of course, is not private or personal. It is neither the exclusive problem of one country nor a present-day problem of all Muslims. Rather, it is a phenomenon concerning the monotheist and faithful people of all ages, past and present and future. So Imam Khomeini want to anchor this Palestine point, that this is the root cause of all the fitna, all the problems in the world happening today. Al-Quds is a universal gay. It's not limited to Iran or Lebanon or Pakistan only. It is not an exclusive gay for Quds itself. So all kind of oppression, if you want to do demonstration for Baqi, for Saudi Arabia, for Bahrain, everyone should bring their slogans here. This is the day to you know, to do a central kind of procession. If you remember in Pakistan, India also, when we used to have a central procession, there was a political power about it, right? If you do one procession on Day of Ashura, it is very powerful. But when you start dividing one procession here, one there, you lose the power. If there is no central idea, you are already scattered among yourself, then you lose the power. That's what Imam Khomeini was trying to teach us. That come to the common point where all Sunni, Shia, and all even non-Muslims can come together about this Palestine issue. And then why? Why this Palestine issue? If you really ponder, this is not, these directions are just arbitrary. Like these are circles of Shaitan. They go, you know, they go in each direction. They have power, they have media, they have banks, they have weapons, and then some of us, silence in the world, are also part of it. All of this combined together, and then Zionists are very happy with this game. They are playing these games in this world. They are having everybody, they bring instability in the region. Okay, they take full advantage of the silence, of the silence of majorities in those countries, and they keep doing things. So this is their agenda, this is their, you know, the way of doing business. That is why Palestine is the core issue here. Now, also, this is the night. Tonight, I want you to remember this slide at least forever. There are no three sides. There are no three or four or five sides. There is only two sides. Is only oppressed or oppressor. In the end, there is ED and there is OR, right? Otherwise, it looks same, right? One is oppressed, and the hadith says, whoever helps the oppressed against oppressor will be in my company, in the paradise, like you. Your prophet used to say this, like these two fingers together. Who is saying this? Who is saying this? Not Imam Khomeini, okay? So don't tell me, oh, where from where Khomeini bring this Palestine. Who is saying this? See, most of the time when I go in different places and talk about Quran and Hadith, people say, this is new, we never heard that. This is new because we are really not going into Quran and Hadith, right? We have some sort of bias against Imam Khomeini, for example. Oh, this is his idea. Oh, most of the Maraje doesn't agree. This is not Maraje. This is, who is this? Again, Prophet Muhammad is telling you. This is Quran and Prophet Muhammad is telling you, whoever helps the oppressed against oppressor will be in my company in the paradise, and there's a reference of this hadith. Now on the oppressor side, the oppressor, his supporter, and the one who accept his deeds. Accept means maybe silent, right? Maybe, I'm not blaming 100%. Accept means it's okay. Who cares, right? Like this, who cares in Canadian way? Something going on somewhere? Who cares means you are accepting, you are not doing anything against it. Although there's a hadith of levels of resistance that, and that hadith is most of the time when I heard from pulpit, is being recited reverse order. It says that, you know, you keep in your heart, and if you cannot do by heart, you do by your tongue. If you cannot do by your tongue, you do by hand. It's other way around, brothers. It's, the first step is you stop by your hand. If you cannot stop by hand, then you stop your mouth. Mouth means everything. Email, Twitter, presentation, all this is, mouth means your keyboard, everything you can communicate. So that's the second level. And then the third level, if you cannot do that, if you are not part of any email group, any chat group, any, you don't know WhatsApp, you don't know Twitter, you don't know Facebook, nothing, then you just leave in your heart. At least from your heart, you are against the Zalimeen, right? Are we like that? We don't do any social media, nothing? That means we can do a lot, right? But we settle on the last level all the time. Yeah, we have hatred toward Yazid in our heart. We always settle on the last level because this is how the hadith was told to us, that this is at least you should do. No, you should stop by your power, by your hand. If you cannot stop, then come to the second level. And then if you cannot do the second level, then you come to the third level, at least in your heart. And even if it is not in your heart, if you are not against Yazid of our time, then this is what it says, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that you are partner in that crime. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So, yeah, Ali. So why we have, why there's two, like why we need to pick one of those? Because of this lanat. Because we are, you know, very ritual of doing this lanat every Thursday. And sometimes, you know, we need to put mirror in front of like people like me, but not doing anything and then cursing. So here it says, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَتَنْ سَمِيَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَزِيَتْ بِهِ. Anybody heard about operation going on and do nothing, stay silent, then is asking for Allah's curse. Who is asking? People. How many? How many people you think recite Zarat-e Wars on every Thursday? From Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Pakistan, India, Canada. Millions of people cursing me every Thursday, and I'm also cursing myself if I'm silent. Keep that in mind forever in your life. I'm saying tonight you have to change the course, right? Tonight is not the night of like rituals. Tonight you have to change. You say, this Ramzan, I am going to accept it. I am going to raise my voice against oppression. Then, this is the topic of tonight. Imam Ali alayhi salam, no wonder why he said this. Kun li mazloom auna wa li zalim khasma. And he is telling to who? Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein? Don't they know it already? But there's one beautiful sentence in this wasiya, that this is for Imam Hassan Hussein and whoever it reaches to. It means Imam Ali tonight is talking to me and you. Because Imam says in the same wasiya, that I'm saying it so that one day it will reach to more people. And more of Imam Ali's sayings here, that when you see an oppressed person, then help him against the oppressor. Who is saying this? Not Imam Khomeini, right? Correct it in the public. Go and tell the people that they need to know Quran, Ahlul Bayt, Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali. Don't make this a marja issue. Don't make it a community issue. Okay, this is an Islamic issue. If somebody is raising the slogan, that is a somebody only. Imam Khomeini is somebody. No, Imam Khomeini is not Imam Ali or Imam Asad and Imam Sadiq. These are the authorities, right? Who have telling, he's just reminding, Imam Khomeini just reminded us of our responsibilities. So Imam Ali says that when you see an oppressed person, then help him against oppressor. And last one, be aware of the cry of the oppressed, for verily he asked Allah for his right, and Allah, the glorified, is more bountiful than he should be asked for a right, except he grants it. Okay, so if Allah is going to listen to the cry of Mazloom, then you will be in trouble. So better you help him. Allah is going to listen to his cry. Okay, now the consequences of not helping. Why I'm emphasizing so much tonight? Is there any consequence if I stay aloof, if I stay idle, if I stay silent? Yes. وَتَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. You will have to must, you have to, fire of hell is going to touch you. This is the decision of Quran. Nobody can change this. Allah says, do not incline toward wrongdoers. Do not incline towards zalimeen. If you incline towards the people who zalamu, let the fire should touch you, and you will not have any friend besides Allah, then you will not be helped. This is the worst thing we should ask for Allah, you know, if we remain silent. This is the consequence. And this is just one ayat for example only. This is the month of Ramadan. You can Google this yourself and you find plenty of ayats about the punishment of the people who are not helping oppressed people. Okay, now we live in Canada. What can we do in Canada? Here's some suggestions list here that how we can be combat. Now, what is our battleground? The first one is no violence, right? We live in Canada. There's nothing. We cannot involve in any act of violence. That's the first thing. What can we do? We can do peaceful protest. Now, the challenge here is to convert the, you need to influence the people of Canada towards your side. So this is the message of the battleground here is the communication. The battleground here is the engagement. The battleground here is the conveying the message. The battleground here is to win them, right? So to do that, we are doing very little, which is much more appreciated, right? In place of doing nothing, right? Instead of doing nothing, I mean. So, but there is, we need to do networking with like-minded people. We need to have influential relations with politicians, religious authorities, interfaith leaders, media personalities. We need to, you know, have a public awareness campaigns like in newspapers, articles on the regular, so whole year. It's not a business of just last weekend of Ramadan. This is an ongoing struggle. And then seminars and social media and all that, and you really need a dedicated resources and committed team and an official platform to do all this. If we need to fight this fight in the land, that's why I said your time, you know your time, and then your land. Your land means you can take action. Where you cannot take action in Lebanon. You cannot take action in Pakistan, right? You know what's going on in your time, so that's the global horizon. But the action is your land, where you really can perform your change. Hezbollah, like for example, Nasrullah is not working in Canada. He's not working in Calgary. He lives in Lebanon. He's working there. So people of Nigeria are not working in Edmonton. They are working in, but we are working everywhere because we are so smart. Because we sometimes forget our ground. This is our ground. Canada is our ground. You need to establish those platforms. You need to start some serious efforts to change the course of history in Canada. And it was changed, really. Canadian vote, when I came to Canada in the year 2000, I did a survey. There were less than, I think around 80, 85 masajid of both Muslim. Yeah, time is over. Two more minutes. Okay. So, this happens with all the important messages. Sorry. Okay, in 2 minutes I'll finish, inshallah. So the vote in UN was in balance. You know, Canadian vote in UN was in balance. You know, they were balancing vote with Palestine and Israel. After 10 years, I did a survey again. We had, mashallah, more than 100 masajid. More than 100 masajid in Canada, and the vote was only on one side. So on the political side, all these centers, we have increased all our number of centers, number of masajid, number of scholars, mashallah, everybody is here now. And now it's upside down. Canadian government is 99% in the side of Israel because we left that arena open. We have no existence in newspapers, in media, in politics, in all those. There is no influence. So that's the gap we need to fill. And I finish in less than 2 minutes. Say Allah Salwat, please.